This is Scorebook Alive Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. I'm your host, Andy Bueller, a statewide high school sports reporter. Senior reporter Todd Mills is with me, and we are now weeks into Governor Jay Inslee's stay-at-home mandate. Schools are closed, sports are halted, and time is a myth. But Todd, it's like you're our ship captain directing us through these unprecedented times. How you doing?
I'm the ship captain.
Yeah.
I guess when Dick Cow's not on the call, I'm the ship captain, right?
Listen, four days a week, in a 20 or so minute special interview on this very podcast feed, Dick Cow's the ship captain, but now it's you. So congratulations and welcome to the podcast.
Well, as long as, you know, I'm not staring the Edmonds Fitzgerald, I think we'll be fine.
There you go. That's a dated reference. I'm not picking up what you're putting down.
Oh, goodness. Well,
should I be?
Gordon Lightfoot has a song about the myth. It's called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on the Great Lakes. So if you're looking for good iTunes recommendation, you know, Spotify, whatever, go pick up that song from Gordon Lightfoot. I think you'll like it. He plays a mean guitar too.
I like, while we're on the topic of songs about epic ships, how about Billy Joel, Down Eastern Alexa? Just an epic tale of a man trying to feed his family.
Really? You're going to transition from Gordon Lightfoot to Billy Joel? Why don't we just go straight from that to The Love Boat? Or Gilligan's Island or something. Come on, man.
There we go.
But as long as I'm the captain, you know, we're fine. Rough waters, choppy waters, we're fine.
So you've been writing a ton. We both have been writing and talking to a ton of coaches and athletes over the past few weeks since schools have been shut down and the stay-at-home mandate has been put in place on just what athletes and coaches are doing in season, out of season, to stay in shape. And the theme of kind of what I'm hearing is that coaches are trying to maintain some sense of normalcy. Whether you're a football player who's, you know, has typical off-season workouts at this time of year, or, you know, a basketball player who's gearing up for an AAU season that's not happening, or, you know, a spring sport athlete that's just like simply sitting at home when there's had been training to perform in season that should be going on right now. So you wrote a story, though, that's on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington this week, about 10 high school programs that join together to do something special. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and again, this is just one of the many cool things that have sort of popped up in the downtime for coaches, athletes, administrators in every sport across the board. But this one happened to touch on football and so Brett Agata, he's the former coach at Mercer Island, football coach, and now at Kent Ridge. He was on a meeting with some of the coaches at Pacific Lutheran University. They were just sort of bandying some ideas. And, you know, one of the coaches at PLU said, you know, right now it's a good opportunity to just sort of do some mental coaching. And they had talked some more about it, and it kind of inspired a few ideas. And so Brett went home and he had been thinking about how to stay connected with his team. He talked to his wife and said, here's some of the things that we talked about on this call. And he said, well, why don't you sort of form that into kind of a challenge or a competition? And I think when she suggested it, it was sort of like amongst your team. Well, Brett seemed to think, hey, why don't I call a few of my coaching friends and see if we can kind of get some other schools involved. So he called Steve Valich, the coach at Liberty, at 2A Liberty, one of his good friends from the Kinko, and started talking about the ideas. And then both of them just sort of sat down and brainstormed some of the character challenge ideas that they came up with, recruited a few more coaches. And by, you know, last Sunday night, they had a Zoom meeting and kind of set the boundaries of this competition. It's a pretty cool thing. I mean, it just, you know, they set, you know, and it's going to be, it's right now they've got this thing planned for 4 weeks, but if this downtime lasts longer than that, they're going to come up with more ideas and extend the challenge. So they've gotten 10 schools, and let me make sure I don't leave out any of the schools: at Bellevue, Bothell, obviously Kent Ridge, the host school, Lakewood up north, Liberty, Lincoln of Tacoma, Newport of Bellevue, CELA over in Eastern Washington, Tahoma, and Woodinville. So all 10 of those schools have, and their players have agreed to do this character building or this character challenge. So the first week, it's very simple. It's sort of an introduction challenge. It's you get up and the first thing you do is make your bed, and then you keep track of that.
I failed that challenge the last 3 days in a row. I failed step one.
Thank goodness that I'm not a football player on any of these schools, because I would certainly bring down the median number. But so these players are on their honor code, and so what they'll do is they'll keep track, and on Saturday night they'll email or talk to their coaches and report how many times they did it this week. The first thing that they did waking up was making their bed. And so the coaches, I think, keep track of it on a spreadsheet, and they figure out what the median number is, and the highest scoring team wins a pizza party. And so they'll do these weekly challenges throughout the course of the year. There's one about writing a letter to a family member or friend on a daily basis, cutting down screen time. So cutting down on the computers, iPhones, TV, which would be a really difficult one for us, I think.
Do you ever get the suggest or the does your iPhone ever tell you like what your screen time was for the week? Does it ever notify you like you spent X amount of hours on the phone?
I think I've disabled that part because I think I would be pretty depressed. But I mean, for what we do, I mean, obviously we're going to be probably a little more than the average person. So, and I think the other one was following somebody on social media, an inspirational person on social media. So basically, you know, it's weird. You go from a computer ban for a week, and then the next week they want you to come social media and find an inspirational person to follow. And so, I mean, there's some really cool aspects to this. The overall winner, I think Brett found somebody from Columbia Sports in Seattle. It's an apparel company to donate and design t-shirts for the team that wins. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, no, I thought this was a great story, and I especially like the quote from Kent Ridge coach Brett Agata. Is that how you pronounce his name? Agata?
Mm-hmm.
Where he said, you know, we want kids to realize that you can look at obstacles as pain or as an opportunity to get better. And I've seen a lot of that. I've heard a lot of that kind of sentiment from coaches where, I mean, how easy would it be to just sit at home and do nothing? You have, you know, some schools aren't in school. You know, there's significantly, you know, less stimulation from just going out and doing things. And you know, there's two types of folks who respond to that. There's two types of responses that you can do. Is it like, do you just sit at home, do nothing, or do you rise to the challenge? And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, out of this, which athletes, really take this as an opportunity to elevate themselves, you know, physically and mentally. So I really like that story from you. Good job.
Hey, hey, we're not done here. Which school is going to win? You heard the schools. So what's your prediction? What school is going to win this thing?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I would maybe I go CELA as a dark horse. They're just, it's like an underdog. Is anyone going to expect CELA to win this?
Do you know anybody at CELA?
Of course.
Do you know the football coach at CELA?
No, I don't.
So you're just going off the cuff and predicting that the one Eastern Washington school is going to win?
This is like filling out a March Madness bracket. Sometimes you don't know everything about one team, and you don't have to. You just asked me to do a prediction.
So your pick is CELA?
Yeah, my pick is CELA. How about you?
My pick is Woodinville. I know who coaches Woodinville.
Homer.
I know how disciplined Woodinville is. I bet you Woodinville, if they don't win it, they're definitely near the top. So we'll see how our predictions pan out here in the coming months.
Okay. Well, we'll see if Wayne Maxwell can pull his group together and deliver a win for you guys. Another story that ran on the site this week, last, I believe it was last Friday or two Fridays ago, a story that recently ran on the site about home workouts and in-season sports. Been talking to a lot of baseball coaches recently, and I wrote a story kind of around a conversation I had with Skyview head coach Seth Johnson. His team is just one of the examples of you know, a team that returned a ton of seniors and was really excited to do so and get the season going. They made the 4A state semifinals last year. And their baseball team entered the season with a lot of momentum and put a ton of work into the offseason and had that kind of taken away from them. But at the same time, you know, Johnson's point was, I asked him, how are you guys maintaining on this, you know, physical fitness during this time? And what he said was, he's like, I'm actually more focused on the mental side of things because, you know, these are seniors that are looking down the barrel of having their senior season taken away from them. So mentally, we're more concerned. We're not, you know, we have competitive players. We have guys who know how to get up and really, really maintain a good physical fitness and sharpness. But it's the mental side. So he set up a first like Zoom practice with all the players, and he's not alone in that. There's coaches around the state that are doing that, is having their whole team live on Zoom, like you and I are recording this podcast right now. And they had a push-up challenge on Monday. Johnson challenged the whole team. He was going to challenge them to each step of the way to kind of add a little bit more, you know, fun and motivation. So Johnson implemented this push-up challenge, which took place on Monday, where he challenged, you know, his team to a push-up contest. And they're doing things like that every week. They're setting up these Zoom practices. And, you know, that's kind of a common refrain is that, you know, coaches are communicating with their players through some through district mandated communication apps, some through things like Google Classroom, Zoom is another way, but this is really kind of unprecedented territory. So, you know, we put together this story as a part of it. I kind of, you know, asked athletes around the state to send us videos of them working out and some kind of creative things that they were doing. Camas basketball's girls basketball is posting daily workout videos. Head coach Scott Thompson's doing an awesome job leading that. You know, there's guys around the state that are just still managing, guys and girls still managing to be really, really creative with their workouts. So, but certainly unprecedented times. And as of now, when we record this podcast, school is set to return on April 27th, I believe, is the first day, a Monday, that it could return at the end of this month. Still a couple weeks away. But as things are looking right now, you know, states are shutting down school through the end of the year, and that could be coming in Washington. We just haven't received official confirmation yet. But the WI continues to plan for a spring sports championship if school's able to return. But, I mean, I don't know about you, Todd. I don't know the prospects of that right now and how that's looking, how realistic that's looking.
Well, yeah, and you wrote a really good story about what players and coaches are doing. And we talk about social media a lot and the negative impact social media has across the board in sports. And you and I both get that directly at times. Thank goodness for social media in this, and able to connect players, girls and boys, with their not only their coaches, their assistant coaches, their strength and conditioning coach. That's one I've heard a lot from coaches, is that strength and conditioning coaches are getting their workouts up on YouTube and having their players kind of follow along. Coaches and players using social media to stay connected. And as important, especially in for the long haul, they look like they're having fun with some of this. They're enjoying it. They're making it, it's not a dour, you know, it's the mood isn't dour. It's you know, you're getting players out there trying to make the most of a really tough situation, and that's great to see. Now, granted, we're 2 or 3 weeks in, and you know, to be able to sustain that, if players are able to sustain that kind of attitude through the rest of the spring, whether we have spring championships or not, I mean, kudos to them, and kudos to the programs that set it up that way, where you can have a little fun like this. This competition, character competition challenge, or some of the fun stuff that you see on social media with just these individual workouts and whatnot. You mentioned April 27th. That seems to be the date that most coaches I talk to say that's kind of the start of the point of no return for baseball players, especially because they're going to need a little time to get conditioned. You know, they need a little more conditioning to start playing. And
yeah, and the WI mandates 10 practices before competitions can take place. And you can, they've kind of amended the rules and created waivers to where that can be accomplished in 5 days. But that's, you know, that's 5 days into a, you know, what would be an abbreviated season for a lot. That's, you're talking 2-a-day practices and then straight into baseball, softball, you know, double, triple headers to try to get a season in. So this is all obviously in hypothetical because we don't know if school is going to return on the 27th.
Well, and the one concern that I hear, don't get me wrong, most coaches are happy that the WIA Mick Hoffman, executive director, hasn't come out and said we're done. So there's a sliver of hope that I think a lot of these coaches and players are kind of holding on to. And why not? I mean, it's right now, the times are so uncertain, both in what's happening, how long it's going to be. Why not give some of these spring athletes and coaches a little bit of hope that we are going to play in May? And so I think they're thankful for that. The April 27th, like I said, the April 27th seems to be the deadline. But I mean, the one concern that I hear most from coaches is, okay, we come back, we get our practices in for softball or baseball, especially. What are we going to do? We're going to play, you know, 5, 6, 7 straight days of double headers. I mean, this, you know, we have to forget, let's not forget these are student athletes. They've been out of school for, they're going to be out of school for weeks. And now we're asking them to, we're asking them to get out of school for, you know, 5, 6, 7 days. And then the postseason just to get in a spring sports season. And I know these students would do it, but there is a concern from coaches about the academic aspect of this. Taking student athletes out of school when they've already been out of school. And I understand that it's a lot to try and juggle and balance from every end, from the WIA's end to the district's end to the school AD trying to, you know, and the league commissioners trying to figure out a schedule. It would be a lot to try and figure out in a short amount of time to have a spring sports season. Would they be happy to do it if they got the green light? Absolutely. So, I mean, yes, I think they all see the writing on the wall. They know it's a real slim proposition here. But the hope hasn't been taken away. And I think right now, as we embark on the early parts of April, I think that's as important as anything.
Yeah, no doubt. One thing I saw on social media as we kind of wrap up this topic, really kind of made me think about how lucky Washington was to get in the state basketball tournaments when they did. We've said this on previous podcasts, but we were sitting there the weekend of regionals, and you know, the Seattle area, Kirkland, was ground zero for the spread of this, of the coronavirus across the country. And you know, we're sitting there, I remember sitting at Battleground High School for the regional weekend on that Saturday, and there's, you know, there's tubs of big things of hand sanitizer everywhere. And you know, we were watching Jackson play, and they had a kid, a student who had a confirmed case. And you're thinking like, okay, this is, you know, concern is starting to build here right in our backyard. Are we going to get this tournament in? And well, the tournament went without a hitch. An arena worker and somebody in both Tacoma and Yakima tested positive. But as far as we know, and as far as has been reported, there wasn't a spread from either of those cases. From attendees or participants. But right after that, everything shut down. So we finished the winter season. Eli Sports Network and the NFHS Network put out yesterday that beginning on next Tuesday, that they're going to start re-airing 12 episodes of Relive the Madness, which is a highlight show of all the tournaments across the state of Washington. So keep an eye on that, because if you're sitting at home and, you know, there's obviously plenty of stuff on our site and highlights and all that, but that'd be fun. It'd be really fun to just think about what happened about a month ago. You know, it feels like longer than a month ago.
Yeah, it's incredible that we got these tournaments in, and I'm thankful for that. And you talked to Mick a lot about his correspondence with the state health department and how quickly this was spreading and they sort of gave him the thumbs up, go ahead, let's get this in. And then we saw what happened the next week with everything shutting down. I was in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. I got to watch one game before they shut everything down. It's incredible, honestly, that Washington was able to get all these state tournaments in, and I think we're all pretty thankful that we did.
On Tuesday afternoon, on Scorebook Live's Instagram, Scorebook Live Washington, it's at SB Live WA. I went live with Union Guard Tanner Toulson. He's the WIBCA's Mr. Basketball State Player of the Year across the state. He's an uncommitted senior who is getting ready to learn where he's about to head for his LDS mission for the next 2 years. And mixed up in all that is his recruiting process. He's blew up as a senior with a breakout season. He only had two offers coming out of the summer, and he really played his way into prominence among a ton of really strong D1 schools. So we're going to play the audio of that interview next on the podcast. But before that, Todd, you and I have been hard at work identifying some of the top players in each of the classes of 2023, 2022, and 2021 on the site scorebooklab.com/Washington. This is boys and girls basketball players. Let's take a look particularly at the ninth grade class. Not a ton of ninth graders on the boys' side that contributed throughout the state, but the ones that did, there's certainly some noteworthy cases. Could you name a couple ninth graders, classes of 2023 athletes that you're looking forward to seeing play in the future?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the list that we haven't really gotten into a whole lot on podcasts because it's, you know, you don't see a whole lot of ninth graders starring at the varsity level. But there are some, on the girls' side, there are some ninth graders I'm really looking forward to seeing next year and beyond. And it sort of starts with Olivia Anderson at Ellensburg. She's a 6'4". I mean, she can play the post, I'm sure, if she wanted to, but she's probably going to end up being a stretch four or a wing. Really athletic and coordinated for a 2A team. The joke over there was Ellensburg was so deep they had a 6'4 girl coming off the bench. Well, I didn't realize it was just a 6'4 girl. It was a very talented 6'4 girl. And she played starter minutes coming off the bench. So it's not, let's not get, you know, confused that she was, you know, buried on the depth chart. But I think we're talking about state player of the year good. She's going to be a, you know, if her development continues as many project it to be, she's going to be a state player of the year MVP candidate when it's all said and done. A couple others I really like that I did see play a few times. You know, a team that made a run in the state tournament, getting to the 3A championship game is Lake Washington, a really young, promising team led by Rosa Smith, their point guard. They had a young lady coming off the bench. Her name's Sydney Haney. And her sister is the starting center on that team. For whatever reason, I mentioned it on the list. She's like Karl Malone. I mean, it's like watching a female version of Karl Malone, this burst and power at the same time coming at you from the four position. When she gets full confidence in what she's doing, she's going to be a lot of fun to watch. She's going to have an intimidator factor that I think people are going to really appreciate when they watch her play. And then a point guard I wanted to kind of touch on that I did get to go. I actually specifically went to see because I'd heard about Tahoma's ninth grade group, and her name's Hope Hassman. And man, I'll tell you, if I wasn't such a big Malia Samuels fan, I'm a huge Hope Hassman fan. She might be my favorite young point guard. And as we know, there's so many good point guards coming through right now in the sophomore and ninth grade class. And she's a dandy. She plays well beyond her years. Very poised, good shooter, never really sped up or slowed down. Just picks her spots. Great leader. They're going to be a team in the North Puget Sound League 4A level for years to come to follow. So I you know, those three girls, I'm going to have a lot of fun kind of tracking, not only from this summer, but their development and the progress they've made heading into next season.
couple on the boys' side that I'll just quickly identify are that popped out to me are a couple guys I haven't seen play. And the first is Kelson Gebbers, freshman at Brewster, who took home the 2B state championship. A really impressive win, taking down a good Life Christian Academy team. But he's a 6'6 forward. He's obviously comes from a decorated family of basketball players, including his older brother, Cade Gebbers. I'm assuming it's his older brother, who is the 2B state player of the year, according to this very media outlet. He averaged like 13.5 points a game and more than 6 rebounds, and he's already picked up an offer from Eastern Washington, and there's a reason behind that is because you can identify, you can see he's physically really impressive, moves well, a lot of upside, and one of the advantages of playing at small schools, if you are a really talented freshman, is the chance to play early. Now, I'm sure Gebbers could have played at at any number of higher classification schools, bigger schools, immediately as a freshman. But a lot of players on this boys list are players that just got the opportunity early at a smaller school in smaller programs. Another one that comes to mind is a 6'8 forward out of the Northwest school. Shout out to David Choi, their head coach. That's Seth Horn, who averaged around 15 points and 8 boards a game. He was the rookie of the year out of that Emerald City League as a freshman. And so a couple guys that among a large list of players that, you know, if you're looking and forecasting on who to look out for in the future across the state of high school basketball, study these names. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. But when we come back, Tanner Toulson, Union guard, joins.
Are you a small business impacted by the coronavirus? Washington Federal is here to help. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live, and it's offering a 5-year business line with 90 days interest for free to businesses that have seen a 10% or greater drop. Apply now to receive up to $200,000 on business lines of credit. The folks at Washington Federal understand small businesses may need an emergency loan. They're doing their best to help during this global pandemic. If you're a small business owner who needs help, head to wafdbank.com to apply. Questions? Email business.lifeline@wafd.com. Are you a small business impacted by the coronavirus? Washington Federal is here to help. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live, and it's offering a 5-year business line of credit with 90 days interest for free to businesses that have seen a 10% or greater drop. Apply now to receive up to $200,000 on business lines of credit. The folks at Washington Federal understand small businesses may need an emergency loan. They're doing their best to help during this global pandemic. If you're a small business owner who needs help, head to wafdbank.com to apply. Questions? Email business.lifeline@wafd.com.
Tanner Toulson, how you doing, man?
Good, how about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Okay, so we're live here on the Scorebook Live Washington feed. I'm Andy Bueller, a high school sports reporter covering the state of Washington. And this is kind of the first time we're trying this out amid social isolation, amid the stay-at-home orders and everything. Tanner, thanks for being here. Thanks for being our first interview. Where are you right now, and how are you holding up through all this?
So I'm just chilling at my place. I'm outside. It's a really nice day out right now. And I don't know. It's just been really, really isolated. Feels weird.
Yeah, we talked a little bit off air about this, but how have you been staying in shape? You're pretty limited. Do you have like weights at home? Are you able to at least make some things work?
So I've just been doing to stay in shape and to stay strong, just doing push-ups, and I have a few dumbbells at home that I can just use for those. But I don't know. It's just been I've been going to the gym or to the church with my brothers, playing them, shooting with them. So that's been nice to be able to go there, but just doing anything to get out of the house, really.
So for those of you who just joined, Tanner is a recent, he's the Union shooting guard forward. He's the reigning 4A Greater St. Helens League MVP, the Washington High School State Coaches Association's Mr. Basketball, and Scorebook Live's all classifications, first team all state. The last time I think I saw you in person, you were coming off the floor after the third place game. You know, that was a few weeks ago, but it kind of feels like a few months ago. How have you processed like the end of your guys' season and just how everything went down at the state tournament in these last couple weeks?
Man, like the way it went down is obviously not the way we wanted it, but I mean, with us going 27-1 and doing all that we could, especially without Brad half the season, it was just pretty special. And I'll always have those memories with the guys for the rest of my life, really. And the way we went out was pretty special, that we didn't just fold over after we lost them. We took advantage of that last game that we could to end on a good note.
So I can see comments kind of coming in, and we haven't done this before, but as we can kind of go through at the end, and if there's any questions that anyone watching this wants to ask Tanner, we can go ahead and answer those at the end. But do you have a favorite memory of this season as you look back? There's obviously your senior season. It was a really impactful one. You really stepped up, had a breakout year. Is there one memory on or off the court that stands out to you?
Man, that's a hard question because there were so many different memories, whether it's us fighting in practice or off the court, we're all hanging out, having a good time, or it's Skyview game or the Battleground game where we win by close. There were just so many memories this year. Going to San Diego, obviously that was really fun with the team. And the last game with us not being playable for the championship game, but to be able to have one last game together, it was just really special the way our bond was, our team played together.
So this past summer, you played on Washington Supreme and wrote a story about this in the middle of the year that we talked about, but you weren't necessarily like the featured player, the go-to player. It's a really talented team, you know, a ton of guys that anyone who knows the first thing about high school basketball across the state can recognize a bunch of names on that team. You come out with a couple of Division I offers. How did you kind of approach your senior season? And did you know that you could make the jump that you eventually did?
Yeah, so I mean, this summer, it was more a learning process than anything. And the way that our summer team played, it was tough for me to play in the style I like to play, which is getting a lot of shots up and handling the ball, trying to be a distributor. So, I mean, I knew I could do more, I thought, but the way I looked in the high school season was I knew Coach Conley was going to stay with me and stay positive towards me, and he kept on texting through the summer. He just wanted to know how everything went, and he just kept telling me, like, look forward to the season. Like, this season's going to be amazing. It's going to be crazy for our team, and we have the potential to do anything. And I just stuck with that confidence that Conley had in me, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to play at Union.
I remember going into the season, we were at Scorebook Live, we were doing our preseason top 10 rankings across the state and all classifications, and I reached out to Coach Conley, and he had said, I just kind of said, like, hey, how are you feeling about the team going into the year? And, you know, you guys have lost some pretty good players from last season. And he said something along the lines of, and Coach, if you're tuning in, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said something along the lines of, like, you know, Andy, like, I don't really say this very often, but we're pretty darn good. And you guys, it seemed like you clicked over the summer, you clicked in the fall, and going into the year, you guys were, it was clear, you know, why you guys had such the hot start that you did.
Yep. I mean, this summer, especially the June that we had together, we kept on winning, and we were like, dang, we could be something special. And then after we won the War of the Border, we won 4 games in a row, and the Curtis tournament, we won that. And looking back on that, I don't know, I think our team, like the morale came together, and our confidence was super high. We knew we could be something special if we just stuck together and kept playing the way we were this summer. And even in high school, we're gonna have more coaching up, we're gonna have more plays, we're gonna be more solid. And I don't know, I feel like this summer was really important for us into making that jump from the summer to the actual season.
Yeah, and pretty late in the regular season, your guys' you know, co-captain, still a first team all league selection, and Brad Lackey, who, shout out to Brad Lackey, just committed to Whitworth. Congratulations. But he goes down late in the season with a torn knee, and yeah, you guys lose a big vocal leader on the court, somebody who's really sets things up for you guys and kind of ran the show a little bit. How do you feel like you guys responded now that you're able to look back and see? I mean, that's pretty late in the season. You know, you guys had some pretty key games to play down the stretch of regular season and then into the postseason. Were you happy with the way you guys responded?
Yeah, so when Brad went down, it was obviously in the battleground game where we were having a great game as it is, and then he goes down in the fourth quarter, and we had to rally back. And I remember our team, we after we won the game, where I had that big shot with a second left, and then they missed their three-point shot to win it. After going to the locker room, we were all celebrating. And then I remember seeing Brad coming down the hallway, and he had tears in his eyes. And I remember right then, all the joy of winning, it kind of just got sucked out of me, because I knew that this was bigger than just the basketball game that we had just won. And the feeling in the locker room was not a feel of celebration. It was a feel of hurt, and we all knew that without Brad, we weren't going to be as good, but we knew that he was just going to be just as much of a vocal leader and a coach on the sidelines and just important to us. And so I feel like we rallied back. And then the next few games, we weren't really used to not having him, and we had a few slip-ups and a few bad games. But I feel like a few games later, we got clicking again. We figured it out a little bit. And then we got rolling right as the playoff state tournament came around.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Were you guys happy with the way you responded? I mean, did you feel like you were happy with the way other guys stepped up? And how, as a teammate, did you kind of challenge and really lean on other teammates to say, hey, this is your time?
Definitely. So one of our big keys we have on our team is trust, and to be able to trust each other. And I knew Caden Horn, Mason Hill, we had some big players step up. Ryan Briscoe, we had some big players step up. And we needed them. Like, we couldn't do it by ourselves. And just the trust we had in our team, I feel like that's most important. And that's what got us to the way we got able to play throughout the next few games. And I feel like that was really big for us. It's a good, big guy.
So, yeah. I watched you, covered you a few times throughout the year. And I got to say, just personally, a game that I don't know that I'll ever forget was your guys' last, I think it was the last or second to last game of the regular season at Skyview. You versus Kyle Grueler and Storm. And I mean, that had to have been, if that wasn't Kyle's best game of the season, it was up there. I mean, he was giving you guys everything he had. And they really took you guys to the end. And it felt like the momentum was in their hands throughout pretty much at least the whole second half. Walk me through that game, because it looked like there was something in you that lit a fire. And of course, you come through and hit a huge double pump three to send the game to overtime, and you guys walked out with a win.
Yeah, I mean, well, Kyle Grueler, he's a great player. And shout out to him for having one of his best games against us. But our team, we really just rallied back, and we were 19-0 at the time. And we already had the league locked up. We already had a playoff seed locked up. We easily could have been, whatever, this game doesn't really matter. Because that game really mattered for Skyview. But we could have been, it didn't really matter. But just the way our team works, we wanted to win every game, and we gave our all. And just the way we responded, from Kyle having his best game, I don't know, I feel like we just didn't want to lose. We didn't know how to lose at that point. So we, the way we rallied back, I'm really proud of.
I think I asked you this after the game, but I can't imagine you practice like a double pump contested three very often. Turning around too.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I saw Kyle Grueler's hand go above my shot, and so I knew I had to double pump it. And then I let it go, and then right when I let it go, I was like, "We're going to overtime!" Like, that's going in.
There's obviously a lot of mutual respect between you guys. That's clear. So you're not committed to a college yet. You got a host of offers, and like we kind of talked about earlier, you really had a breakout season this senior year. Your high school season was a big part of colleges turning their heads and saying, you know, schools that hadn't reached out to you over the summer that you started to hear from. What's that been like over the course of the year to really kind of see your play reflected in colleges at the next level reaching out? And out of all the offers you've gotten, all the conversations you've had, have you narrowed it down at this point?
Yeah, so it's just been really cool to see the way I played this high school season and see other coaches reaching out for schools that I've reached out to as well. And the schools that have been most interested and the schools I'm most interested, probably top five, would be Boise State, Utah State, Utah, BYU, and Utah Valley would probably be my final five schools that I'm looking at. So, I mean, I'm just going to keep it one day at a time, and then hopefully after this coronavirus thing clears up, take a few visits to a few schools, and hopefully decide before I leave on my two-year LDS mission.
Yeah, so I should mention, so you're going on your LDS mission for 2 years. You don't know yet where you're headed, but you're supposed to find out soon. Haven't taken any visits yet, right?
Nope. So, Portland, but...
Okay, fair. And so at this point, like, with the virus, how is that impacting your decision? Because like you said, you want to commit to somewhere that you visited, you want to go visit those five schools. Do you have a timeline for your decision, and how is everything being impacted?
Yeah, so obviously right now would be the time where I would be going on visits to different schools, but with this whole corona thing, the latest I've heard is NCAA is stopping everything at least April 15th. And so I won't be going on any visits until at least then. But I'm trying to, like, get a feel for the campus and the college before I make my decision, because there's a lot of great choices and opportunities for me. And any college I choose, I'll be happy with. Like, they're all great opportunities and to go play at the next level, which is a blessing to me. But so obviously the coronavirus is really pushing that decision back. But hopefully I'm going to be committing before I leave.
Yeah. When are you supposed to leave? Do you know?
Anywhere between June 20th to late July, mid or early August.
Okay, so you have time. What's it like making a decision just throughout this process, knowing that you're going to be deciding on a school that you won't be enrolled at for 2 years?
Yeah. So I mean, obviously you just got to find the right fit, the people who want, the schools who want you, and the guys who are the early guys who are going to be there, the freshmen and sophomores are going to play with for second year. There's a good fit between that and the coaches. You gotta be in with the coaches. And just to, I don't know, I feel like just the right school as well. Just, you just got to be able to see yourself playing for that school and see yourself winning and competing for the coach and for the guys around you.
If you're just joining in live now, I'm Andy Buehler with Scorebook Live. This is Union's Tanner Toulson, who just wrapped up a decorated high school career, a breakout senior season. Tanner, we've talked a lot about basketball here, but I'm curious to ask you some questions outside of basketball. Chief among them is, in the past couple weeks, as you've been out of school and kind of stuck with the stay-at-home order, is there a TV show that you've started to binge? Anything on Netflix? Any of the streaming services that you've taken a liking to?
Not necessarily a TV show, but my brother is home from Hawaii, and so me and him just playing Xbox with the FIFA and the 2K, just always playing him. That's been fun. Just I like to be outside, so going outside, bike rides and walks and stuff, and it's just been fun.
Who's your team in 2K?
The Jazz, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, Tanner's dad, Andy, played for the Jazz. Is he in 2K at all? Is that throwback team in there?
No. So he missed it by 1 year, actually.
Oh.
So, I had 2 years in there, but not the 91.
Yeah. Okay. So I reached out, let's just say, some folks associated with Union's basketball program before this interview, and this is an important question that needs proper context, so I'm hoping that you can help us out with that. Who is Bathroom Boy? What does that mean? And where did you learn to sing?
So one of my teammates, Isaiah Bognath, he has a TikTok, And he heard me sing one time. He's like, dang, Tanner, you can really sing. And so he wanted me to sing for one of his TikToks. And I sang in the bathroom because he said I had the best or whatever. And it kind of went viral. And I was not expecting it at all. And then he showed me the next day. He's like, Tanner, this has like 100,000 likes. I was like, what the heck? Like, that's
100,000 likes?
Yeah, it in like one day. And then, so yeah, I guess the bathroom boy TikTok thing got going, and then Isaiah called me bathroom boy right there. But yeah, it was just fun little side thing that was, I don't know, it was just weird. I was not expecting it to blow up like that.
Did you make any repeat performances after it? Is this a recurring role?
Yeah, so me and Isaiah, we're brothers and we're in close contact all the time. And he wants me to sing for his TikTok, and I was like, all right, whatever, I'll do it for him. And then it just kind of blew up. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I appreciate it. I can see a bunch of Union players, and I'm sure your classmates weighing in, enjoying you talking about Bathroom Boy. So, okay, so we have one question that I can see, and it's asking, when did you start playing basketball? Is this something you played throughout your whole life?
Yeah, so my dad, obviously, he played in the NBA for a few years. And all my brothers growing up, I have four older brothers. And I always remember playing basketball because I just love the sport, love the game. And always trying to be able to beat them, so get older to beat them. And I have, like, such a competitive spirit in me that if I lose a game, like, we're playing another one. Like, unless they quit, like, we're playing another one. Like, I'm not going home on a loss. But I don't know. I guess I started playing basketball ever since I could remember, ever since I could dribble a ball. And, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, Tanner, hey, thanks for joining me today on our very first Scorebook Live live interview here on Instagram. Great hearing about your process, whether it's, you know, throughout the season and your recruiting process as well. Wishing you the best of luck going forward, and stay safe out there.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate it. You too. We'll be right back.